Blog Talk Radio.
Marvin Winans.
Oh, my.
John P. Key. Isaac Kareem.
Oh.
And Brad Salen.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a while, y'all.
Oh,
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you out there in radio land and under the sound of my voice. I want to thank each and every one of you that are under the sound of my voice for being on the line tonight to give God the praise, to give him the glory. Praise God. I just thank you, God, for your support. Amen. This is BJ Ministries with True Bible Church International under the auspices of Dr. B.A. Thomas, who's the overseer of Chosen Generation Fellowship of Churches. We're located at 22867 Mountain Avenue in the city of Paris, California. And we're there every first and third Saturday of the month. Now, anybody living in the surrounding areas of Hemet, Paris, Wildomar, Lake Elton, or Menifee, Corona, come out and be blessed on the first and third Saturdays, starting at 10 o'clock with the hour of power. And then we go into the service and healing at 11 o'clock. Thank you. Thank you, one. Thank you all. I have a few announcements. We're going to get out of the way before we bring the speaker. Amen. And before we start the devotion. As I have been giving you information about getting your utilities paid, check with Love, Peace, and Happiness at 4951 South Figueroa. I believe the third Thursday of this month will be the last Thursday of this year to help you pay your utility bill. Praise God. Praise God. And I'd like to give a shout out to Evangelist Brown, who hosted a revival on November the 28th, 29th, and 30th. It was a success. And if you didn't make it out, you missed a blessing. Amen. And I also
Amen.
Give a shout out to the Elder Feeble and First Lady for the opportunity to be on Blog Talk Radio. And if you can mute your phones for me, I'd appreciate it. God bless you. Amen. And then I want to give some thank you tonight to those that support the ministry, our own Pastor Mothers of San Antonio, Texas. Amen. I thank God for General Lily Shaw, who's the adjutant to Dr. B.A. Thomas. Praise God. I thank God for consuming fire on Monday with our own apostle, Milton York. Then we have our own Mother Patricia and Mother Georgiana with Allie's Vision of Hope on Tuesday. And on Wednesday night, it's yours truly with BJ Ministry. And then on Thursday night, we come back at 7:30 with Fellowship in Action with our own state evangelist, Marie Brown, who hosted that dynamic revival. And then every Friday night, saints, those of you out in radio land under the sound of my voice, come be on the line with us every Friday night, 7 to 9, with Blog Talk Radio, with our own Dr. B.A. Thomas. And that's not all. That's a Blog Talk Radio for those of you that work in the evening and probably don't have an opportunity to get on the radio or get on the line with us next through Friday. Go to the Blog Talk Radio. And then we have Monday through Thursday at 6:30. We have our own minister, Ray Thurman, Fellowship in Unity. And he comes on every Monday through Thursday at 6:30 in the morning. And on Fridays, he's there at 6 a.m. in the morning. And that number is 774-220-4000. 774-220-4000. And the access code there is 787-7473. And I always like to put in there, any of you that have been blessed and feel like donating to the ministry, to Blog Talk, to the different ministers that come on the line, place their name on the envelope, hallelujah, and send it to P.O. Box 322, Lake Elsinore, California, 92531. If you feel like sending a card or a blessing or a donation of some type, send it to P.O. Box 322, Lake Elsinore, California, 92531. Govern yourselves accordingly. Those are the announcements that I have right now. If there are any announcements, you can go ahead with that now. But if not, we're going to start our devotion. And I just thank you, praise the Lord, like you said before, for each and every one of you on the line with me tonight. Oh, glory be to God. So I like to start off with at least three testimonies. But if there's 10 of you out there, too, give me a testimony. I have the Lord bless you. So God blesses me as well. Testimony time is open now. The floor is now open for testimony.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Y'all sound like y'all bumping along. I said, praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you,
amen.
Father.
Thank you, Father. I give honor to God who is the head of my life and the center of my joy. I give honor to the host of the line tonight. And Minister BJ, give honor to our chief apostle, amen. To everybody else in your appropriate places, and we pray that protocol has been established. I stand before you to tell you that God is still a good God, and he's worthy to be praised.
Yes, he is.
If I may share this, just the other week, I was let go of my job, amen, bless God. But nevertheless, I learned something from that. And here's what I learned from that. You may say this ain't no testimony, but yet this can encourage somebody's spirit today. And what I learned from this was that everything that's outside of God is a seasonal thing. And what we as do as people is we try to make stuff that should be seasonal, we try to make it permanent. And we try to make things that are supposed to be permanent in our life, we try to make it seasonal. I'm not the preacher of the hour, but I just came on here just to testify and to tell you that even though I may have lost my job, God is still in the blessing business, that God is still making way out of nowhere. God is still open up doors for me. Even when it seems like people want the doors to shut in my face, I come to tell somebody on this line to encourage somebody to let you know that our God is a way make a miracle worker, wonderful counselor God, and I can serve and magnify him. And I just come to encourage somebody, let somebody know that if things seem like it should be shut in your face, let it be shut, because God got something better and bigger for you. And those that know the value of prayer, let us continue to pray one for the other. God bless you, and I love you all to life.
Amen. I enjoyed that testimony.
Thank you, Jesus. Come on, sister. Thank the Lord. I just thank the Lord for Jesus. Thank the Lord for what he is in my life. Thank you for saving me, filling me with the Holy Ghost. And I thank the Lord for a prayer life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How he spared our life yesterday. The neighbor knocked on the door. She said, I smell chemicals. I said, I don't smell nothing. My nose stopped her. I came on back in the house. I left the door. She was pacing round and round the building. I smell chemicals. I said, I don't smell nothing. And then I told her, I said, why, if you smell something, call 911. And she didn't. I said, well, I'm going to call 911. So I called 911. The firemen, the sheriff, everybody came out. And they smelled it. And they went upstairs and they began to bam on doors. And a lady was up there with her little boy sleeping. They came running down the steps. I say, what's wrong? She said, come in with us. I opened up the doors in the women. I thank God that I prayed for these people around here. I thank God that he didn't let nobody die. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you. I keep this building in my spirit covered with the blood. God is good. He'll never leave us or forsake us. He is on time, Jesus, and I thank him for it.
Amen.
Will there be another?
Yes, Pastor Slum is here.
Praise God.
Just want to testify and praise God because he was mindful of me today. And if you're alive, he was mindful of you. And you know, we serve a living God. And we are servants of the Most High. You know, and so I just want to praise him for what he has put into my spirit, what he has given. His word says that we are his servants. And so he loves us so much that we know angels are God's servants too. But this is what he thinks of us, that the angels can never be his children, but we can. Yes, we can be God's children. See, we're servants right now, but there's a time Christ told his disciples, he said, I no longer call you servants. I call you friends. I now call you friends. Because servants don't know their master's business. But we do, because God has told us. You know, so that's how much he loves us. And so he deserves our praise, honor, and respect and obedience. Because he says, I have life, and nobody has life but God and his Son. And so he has given us life. And the great thing about that is, he came so we can have it more abundantly, if you desire it. So he's worthy of love, respect, honor, and glory. And there's nothing without it. So I just want to praise God. I want to thank God for all those that love him, that serve him, and that's obedient to his word. Praise God. He's so worthy. God bless you all.
Thank you, Pastor Smothers. Will there be another testimony? Well, I'm going to give a testimony how the Lord woke me up today because somebody didn't wake up today. And I thank God that even though the enemy goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, the Lord got his hand stayed on me. And I thank and praise the Lord for each and every one of you under the sound of my voice. I said, Lord, I prophesy, declare miracle working powers in our lives. That's what we need. We're living in some last days, saints. Amen. Shooting taking place. Shooting the wrong people. And we just got to be thankful that we stay covered with the blood because you never know where the enemy is going to hit. But one thing I do know, that God takes care of his own. And I thank him for blessing me today and leading and guiding me throughout this day. I think I've never seen before. Now I'm waiting on a word from the Lord. Amen. Will there be another testimony?
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to thank and praise the Lord for all those that did give a testimony. I thank God for Pastor Whitfield being on the line. I also want to thank God for, I think it was Brother Lewis. He's Dr. Wright's recorder. He came on to let me know that he was there. So I thank and praise the Lord for him as well and for Mother that testified also. I just thank God for everybody. And at this point, we're going to start our devotion. We've had our dynamic testimonies. I appreciate it. I've been blessed just hearing how God works miracles, turn things around. And the devil could have taken us out, but God said no. So I just thank and praise the Lord for that. Amen. At this time, we're going to have our scripture reading by our own evangelist, Marie Brown.
Hello, everyone. Hello, everyone. To God be the glory. Come and go with me from St. Mark, the 16th chapter, and the 5th through the 9th, and through the 5th through the 18th verse. And it says, and he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere the Lord working with them and confirming the words with signs, following. Amen. We thank you for the hearing and doing of God's word. Amen.
Amen. Now we're going to have our opening prayer by our own Dr. B.A. Thomas. Dr. Thomas.
Amen, amen, amen. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in your Son's name. Father God, we come and we welcome you on tonight. Father God, we welcome the Holy Spirit to preside in this service, oh God. Father God, and we thank you for your Son that you have sent. God, we thank you that you are God and you are God all by yourself. So, Father God, we just come and we thank you, oh God, because this is the day that you've made, God, and that we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father God, we come and we're thanking you for jobs that you're going to provide for someone. Father God, we thank you for our help. We thank you for our strength, God. Father God, we ask you to open up doors, oh God, that have been closed in somebody's face, God. Father God, we ask you to open up our eyes that we shall see, and we open up our ears that we shall hear. Father God, we ask you to open up this, our spirit, that our spirit will receive the word on tonight. Father God, we ask you to touch our speaker, oh God, that you will continue to take her down in the depths of you, oh God. Continue to fill in her with a rhema word. Oh God, we thank you for each and every one that's on this line on tonight, that's under the sound of my voice. Father God, we thank you. Father God, we thank you that you did not let somebody house flood on today, that you brought us all back here safe and sound. Father God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you that you will continue to fill the man that needs to be filled, Father God, with your precious Holy Ghost, God. We thank you. Father God, we thank you for the roof that you have given over our head. Father God, we thank you for the food that is on our tables. God, we thank you for our transportation. Father God, that we have so many things that we can thank you for. We thank you for the guardian angel that has kept watch over us. Father God, so we thank you. If we had 10,000 tongues, we wouldn't be able to thank you enough. So we thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for this ministry. God bless you, and we ask all of this in your Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank our own evangelist, Marie Brown, for reading that dynamic scripture. I believe it was Mark 16:5-18. We got to go into all the world. That's even our neighborhood and our families, and as far out as we can get, and proclaim the word of God. And then I want to thank God for our own Dr. Betty Thomas for that dynamic prayer. So I want everybody to prepare yourself and get ready to hear from the woman of God that the Lord speaks to and speaks through. It's Dr. Brenda Wright from Hemet, California. She has her own schooling. If you decide you want to get your degree, call Dr. Wright. Amen. And she's certified. And I love her as my own sister. When you call her, she's always ready and prepared. She's a dynamic speaker and a lovable person. And you have to be in God, because God told us to love one another, and she does just that. And I thank God for it. At this time, I'm going to introduce to some and present to others Dr. Brenda Wright. The floor is yours, Dr. Wright.
Amen, and thank you for the opportunity, and God bless all of the people of God. I'm excited about the opportunity to come and share with you this evening something that the Lord has laid upon my heart, that we, the believers, should be in a different position that many of us are in, and the enemy has been running rampant in many of our lives, and it's time for us to come to the place where we stop him on in his tracks and take back that which has been stolen, or where the hindrances have been in our very lives, ourselves, our ministries, our families, or whatever. We have the power. God has granted unto us the power as the church of God. Jesus said, upon this rock, this truth, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we're trusting the Lord that as we obey the Lord and do what the Lord tells us to do, that we are going to see that we are defeating the wicked one, and that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. So, Father, we just thank you right now for this time allotted, for the opportunity to share your word. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will breathe afresh upon us as the word of God comes across, that we will hear and understand the word of God. Father, we thank you for the opportunity for your word to be given to us at this time, and we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' wonderful name. We pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Well, tonight we're going to go into a direction. I'm going to share various scriptures that the Lord has laid on my heart to deal with our message. The scriptures are very common scriptures. We quote them all the time. There's nothing new under the sun. I just want to share with you what we've been experiencing in our ministry and in our personal lives, and I can tell you that it is working as we are doing what God is telling us to do. Over in Matthew, the 12th chapter, verse 43, it says, "When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be unto this wicked generation." We're going to be looking at how the enemy has been able to gain access and moving in and out of our lives, and having opportunity to do more damage than he should be able to do. And many people are forfeiting the victory in their lives that is already ours. We're not trying to get the victory. We have it. We're enforcing the victory we already have. So we're going to look at a few things over in Isaiah 52 and over in verse 1 of that chapter. You will read over there where it talks about the enemy having no more being able to come in, and the uncircumcised and the unclean no longer being able to come in and wreak havoc in our lives. Uncircumcised individuals and unclean spirits have no place in the lives of the believers. We're going to go to Isaiah 59 and verse 19. We'll be coming back to Matthew, the 12th chapter, in a couple of minutes, but we're going to move on to Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 19. Again, very common scripture. I know we can all quote it verbatim, but just let's go to the scripture and let's read what it says. Verse 19, this is Isaiah 59, verse 19. "So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." It should read like this: when the enemy shall come in, comma, like a flood, comma, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. We're talking about the Lord turning the enemy back at the gate. There's a scripture that talks about that in Isaiah 28:5-7. It talks about turning the enemy back at the gate. We have the power to turn the enemy back. He should not be able to re-enter in our lives, rather, and play havoc in our lives. When the Lord put Adam and Eve out of the garden, he arranged it with the angels that were put in place to stand there with the flaming sword, the fire of God that was moving at that time. Adam and Eve could not re-enter. The enemy should not be able to re-enter. We need to learn how to stop him from having access into our lives and moving in and out at his leisure. He doesn't have that privilege of doing what he used to do in our lives when we were under his care, per se, when he was in our lives influencing us. We are now under the blood of Jesus Christ and under the power of God, and the enemy should not be able to do the things that he's doing in the lives of individuals. And we see this happening more and more, so we have to ask the question. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." We are the church of God. We're not talking about a building. We're talking about a people with power. And he's given us power against all power of the wicked one, so that nothing by any means would hurt us. So we're told here the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Now, if you don't have standards, like some people lower their standards, they don't have the power to prevent the enemy from coming in because, number one, they themselves have lowered their standards. In Numbers, the first chapter and the second chapter, and I think the fourth chapter, you will see how the structure of the Israelites were set up north, east, south, and west. To the east would be Judah. To the north would be Dan. To the west would be Ephraim, and to the south would be Reuben. And the other two tribes, each had two tribes with them, so there was three on either side. Each was given standards, and you'll see that they pitched by their own standards, their own incense, and so forth. So Judah, we know, if we were to see the Star of David, we know that that's Judah. That's their standard, and they pitched by that standard. I don't know about you guys, but I know my children and along the way, when I would say no about certain things, they said, well, so-and-so's mother or father or family are Christians, and they can do this and they can do that. I said, but those are not our standards. We have a different standard in our home. We do not accommodate other people. We don't accommodate our children to stay on their good side. We maintain the integrity and the principles and the standards that God has given to us Christians. When we as Christians begin to lower our standards to be accepted, when we begin to lower our standards, we're not going to have the power to drive the enemy out of anything. And many of us, because the devil cannot cast out the devil. So therefore, when we lower our standards, we are powerless when the enemy comes in. Now notice it says, when the enemy shall come in. Oh, he might come in, but he can't stay there. Because like a flood, you see, remember over in Matthew, the 7th chapter, it tells us that Jesus said he likened a wise man to one that built his house on the rock. Now, Jesus is that rock. We read over in Corinthians where it says, and that rock that followed them was Christ. When the rock was struck out in the wilderness, in the desert, that rock was Christ. The rock, had followed them. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the rock of all ages. He has the power and the authority, and whatever he says goes, no question about it. The Bible tells us in Corinthians that that same rock followed them. They all drank of the same water. They were all under the same cloud. They were all baptized under Moses out there in the wilderness. And clearly that rock was Christ. So when we do not stand on Christ the rock, when we lower our standards and lean on the arm of flesh or anything other than Jesus, you're going to be defeated because the rains are coming and the flood's coming and you can't stop it. It's a part of life. It's coming. But the man who's anchored on Jesus Christ, the rock, they'll be able to stand. When all the floods is gone and everything else is gone, they'll still be standing. But the person who's built their foundation on the sand, when those same conditions come and beat upon that house, it's going to fall and be swept away because it has no roots. It has no foundation. So our standards are important. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And the enemy very well knows that. He always tries to get people to lower their standards. He started in the Garden of Eden when he suggested through the serpent, who the Bible says was more subtle than any beast of the field the Lord God made. First of all, Eve was nobody's fool. She was in her perfect mind, and the devil very well knew that if he was going to get to her, he was going to have to do something that would make Eve think that what she was doing was good and right. She never thought what she was doing was wrong. The Bible says the woman was deceived. Now, Adam was not, but the woman was deceived because the Bible said when the woman saw the tree that it was good. In other words, she saw it the way the serpent caused her to see it from his perspective. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety so your minds would be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ Jesus. Later it said it's not a big deal.
if the ministers of Satan appear to be ministers of righteousness, because Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He takes on, he's a master counterfeiter, and he comes in and he takes on false identity. He appears to be God. He gives information that many people feel that God is not for them, and they begin to believe these suggestions, these very strong suggestions, they're lies, because the devil can't tell the truth. He's the father of lies. He was a liar right from the beginning. That's what it says. Jesus himself said that in John 8:44. Then over in Ezekiel 28, the Bible says concerning Satan that he was perfect when he was created. There wasn't anything wrong with him until iniquity. That's where the first place we see iniquity. Iniquity is sin. And remember over in the book of Jude, it talks about the angels that fell, they sinned. So God made man as well as angels capable of acting independent of him, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So when people begin to lower their standards and go contrary to what God has said, you're lowering your standards. An example of that is found also in the book of Samuel. Remember the story of Mephibosheth, who was the son of Jonathan, who was the son of Saul, the first king of Israel. Remember that Jonathan and David were best friends. It says that they had love for each other that was stronger than the love of a man and a woman, and it had nothing to do with homosexuality. I know how that these filthy-minded people like to try to make fit that it doesn't fit there. This is talking about a genuine, true love. Amen. Between men that love God and loved each other. And people can do that even today. You can have two women loving each other, loving God, and they're not lesbians. They can be men that love God and love each other, and they're not gay. These are people who the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit is clean, is decent, and is pure. God is love. And outside of God, there is no true love. So when God pours forth his love in an individual, that individual is able to love another person with the love of God. It has nothing to do with the flesh, has nothing to do with anything but the pure, true love of God. God is love. The Bible tells us clearly, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to whosoever believed in him would not perish, but God did not send his son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. It is always God's intention for man to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into the knowledge of the truth and be saved. The Lord will extend the life of a person far beyond reason if it's possible that that person will eventually receive Christ. He's not going to let nobody go to hell that he knows will eventually turn their hearts over to Jesus Christ. So the good news is that he that winneth souls is wise. We, the people of God, should be an evangelical. We should be out to win the lost and the dying. We should not be trying to accumulate the things of this world that will pass away with the usage. You didn't bring nothing in the world, and you're not taking anything out of this world. The only thing that's going out is what can be sent out, which are souls. So we need to be soul conscious. We need to have burdens for the lost and for the dying. We need to be concerned about turning people from darkness to light. We need to be concerned about maintaining the standards that God has already set. Jesus put everything in place before he left. He never told us to lower our standards to win nobody. He never told us to lower our standards to get this, that, or the other. It's the enemy that will come along and say things like, all this will I give you if you'll just bow. But you've got to stick with what the word says. It is written. It is written. That's how you deal with the devil. You don't have no conversation. You just speak the word. It is written. When you stand and use the word of God, that's your standard. You stand on the word of God. You don't use no other method. Nothing else will work but the word of God against the wicked one. So we have Mephibosheth,
living, and he was, as I said, the grandson of Saul, the son of Jonathan, and David asked a question over in 2 Samuel chapter 9. He said, is there any left of the household of Saul where I can show kindness? David had been treated terribly by Saul, and he could be looking to vindicate himself and cause other people to pay, but he didn't have that kind of a heart. He had a heart like God. That's what God said. David was not perfect. He had a lot of things that was wrong and needed to be corrected, but one thing is for fact, he had a heart like the heart of God. He was quick to repent when he found that he did something that was wrong. The Lord was able to work with him because he had a workable, pliable heart. Some people, as it says in the Bible, you have a whore's forehead. You refuse to be ashamed. A whore, be a male or female, their business would not flourish if they was walking around feeling guilty about turning tricks and living that lifestyle. They have to harden themselves. They have to go against everything that is right for them to justifiably do what they do and not feel guilty. So God said to Israel that their behavior had become that they were like a whore's forehead. They had no remorse. They could do whatever they wanted to do. No conscience about it. Their conscience was seared with a hot iron. They didn't feel no remorse for anything that they did. They could look you right in your eye and not even break a sweat and be lying out their teeth and know that they're lying. But because they had no longer were standard bearers, they didn't bear up and stand on anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything, and that is a fact. So when they told David, oh, there is somebody left. So who is he and where is he? His name is Mephibosheth, and he lives in Lodebar. He was actually renting like a room in a boarding house, if you will, and it tells us the name of the person whose name means salesman. One wonders what that man was selling him while he was in his house. You know, when you come in contact with people who think differently than you do, it's amazing how they'll try to sell you something, false goods. They'll try to sell you ideas. They'll try to sell you things. But you've got to stand and hold your standards high. You don't lower them for anything. So where was he? Lodebar. What is a king's kid? Somebody that's got in their bloodline that there's somebody that's like a king's kid, and they're living in Lodebar. We are a royal priesthood and a chosen generation. We don't have to live low lives. We don't have to live beyond our standards. We hold up the bloodstained banner, and we maintain what we believe based on what God's word has to say. Like they do with that little limbo thing. It's like, how low can you go? They keep lowering the bar to see how low you can go. You and I have to raise the bar. We don't lower the bar. We raise the bar, the standards of righteousness and holiness. We live godly lives. We're not perfect people, but we maintain what the word of God says. We hold high the standard, the banner. The Lord is our banner. Over us is the banner of God. So the banner that each one of them, as you go back and read for yourself, you'll see that to the west, they had a standard. To the north, they had a standard. To the west, they had east, they had standards. To the south, they had standards. But when they began to lower those standards, that's when we have problems. For example, Reuben was the oldest of the children of Jacob. He had the spiritual birthright. But what he did is he lowered the standards in his own life and went in and slept with his father's wife. He lowered the standards. The Bible is clear that you're not to be sleeping with your kin folks. That's called incest. Nobody says, well, they love, like Tina Turner says, you know, what's love got to do with it? I don't care if somebody's in love with somebody. The standard is this. You don't sleep with your relatives. There's other things that the Bible has set up as standards. You just don't do those things. In Leviticus 11 chapter, it tells you what kind of food you should be eating. And still we go and lower the standards, and we eat stuff that we shouldn't eat, and we while we're sick. But we done lowered the standards. We have allowed a lot of things to come into our lives. We keep lowering the standards like the limbo thing. Just keep lowering the bar instead of raising. crossing the bar. So when it says when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. If you don't have any standards, there's nothing to raise up. He can come right on in. If you out there sleeping and acting like the devil, you ain't going to cast the devil out. You don't have the power. You don't have the authority. Like those demons said over in Acts 19, Paul we know, and Jesus we know, but who are you? And even though they took had every attempt that they could to cast out the demons had them on the run. We're not supposed to be the one running. The devil is supposed to be the one running. But many of the believers, because there's no standards, there's nothing, no principles, nothing in place to deter the wicked one. He feels like he can just come on in, just like they did over there in Matthew, the 12th chapter. The unclean spirit left. But now the unclean spirit, if you listen to what he said, is that I was going to go back to my house once I came out. He might have came out physically, but he never relinquished the place. He still called it my house. The enemy should not have the right to feel that he can have and come in and call your place my house. He don't have no space in your house. In the book of Revelation, it says that they gave a seat to the devil, to Satan, and then two chapters later, he had a whole synagogue. If you give him a seat, he's coming back for the synagogue. I remember there's a couple of scriptures over in the Old Testament where the Philistines came up against the Hebrew people, the Israelites, and came against them, the Bible says, challenging them with their lentils and their barley. Somebody said, well, that's just some beans. I wouldn't be fighting over no beans. Let them have the beans. Well, let me just tell you this. Like I said a few years ago when they were trying to take my toe off, if I gave them my toe today, next week they're coming back for the foot. And after they come back for the foot, they're going to come back for the leg. And I said, and I'm not cursing, but I said, hell, comma, no, exclamation point. You're not getting my toe. Absolutely not. And I fought against them, trying to intimidate me, telling me what's going to happen and all this kind of stuff. Well, I believe God. And I tell you what, my toe is still on my foot. I'm looking right at it right now. But if I would have let intimidate me, making me feel that they know better and whatever. They didn't know my God, and they wasn't getting my toe, and I meant it. And recently, I had another situation that happened with my eyesight. And in my left eye, because of being, they said, diabetic, this eye began to give me problems. At first, I didn't recognize the seriousness of it. It was just a blurry here, and I thought maybe I needed some glasses. So I went to the doctor, and the doctor, the optometrist, he said, well, I do see some cataracts, but they're not that bad. We can deal with that later. Gave me some glasses and sent me on my way. Well, 2 months later, I could not see out of my left eye at all. Then I had to go to the specialist to see about my eyes, the retina doctor, the cataract doctor, and all. So as they came to their own conclusions, they said that my eye was in with all of the pressure that was upon my eye. That's why I couldn't see. The cataracts had now gotten so great and deep, they couldn't move them because they felt that if they did, it would be permanent damage. So they said they wasn't going to do it. They said, and if the drops that they were giving me and the needle that would be put in my eye every so many weeks didn't work, the next thing they were going to have to do is take my eye out. I said, the devil is a liar. Because over in the book, it tells us there that when Nahash was the Ammonite over there, and the people wanted him and them to give them protection. And the man said, I tell you what, if you give us your left eye, then we will give you protection. And the answer from the people was, give us a week to think about it. Do you think you need a week to think about somebody taking your eye out of your face? I don't think so. So when they told me, yes, the devil is a liar. Now he's trying to take my eye. If I gave him the left eye, don't you think he'll be back for the right eye? So I said, he's not getting nothing. And I meant just that. Well, my eye is still there. And I saw the doctors the other day, and they said that they saw the pupil. Now, a few weeks ago, they didn't see anything. But when God began to show me through the word, how Paul, over in the Acts, the ninth chapter, had these scales that dropped off of his eyes, then God began to show me that these scales were like cataracts. He showed me the cataract of bitterness. He showed me the cataract of hatred. He showed me all these things that would blind you, spiritually speaking and naturally as well. When I began to take authority over these particular cataracts and these scales that I believed in the name of Jesus were going to begin to drop off in Jesus' name, I was believing God. Now they're telling me. Now, mind you, if I had let the doctor go and take my eye out, they wouldn't have been able to see anything because there wouldn't have been an eye to work with. You got to maintain your standards. Like Paul said over in Acts 27, wherefore, sirs, I believe God, that it shall be even as he said unto me. You got to believe God. You got to raise the standard. I believe God. No matter what the other situations may be, you got to stand up for what God's word says. So lastly, as we close, we look at this one unclean spirit that said did not, was still trying to hold on to his position. He goes and gets seven more, and they're worse than he is. So the condition of the man is that he's worse than he was before. Well, the woman with the issue of blood, remember she spent all her money for 12 years going to physicians, and it says she suffered much at the hand of the physicians. I was taking medications that the physician was giving to me, and another physician was giving me something else, and those things was making me worse. The side effects from the medicine was making me worse than the condition. And in the same way, you got these seven demonic forces, I call them clusters. They're mentioned over in Deuteronomy 32. The forces of darkness, they come in clusters. So this cluster of seven now becomes eight. And now they're in this man's body, this individual who is now possessed of seven demons plus one that was worse than the one before. And this man's condition is worse, just like you said about the woman with the issue of blood. Her condition was worse. She was worse suffering at the hand of these doctors. They didn't make her better. Medicine don't make you better. It don't heal you. It might sustain you, but it don't heal you. We want to be healed, delivered, and set free. And the way we do that by the grace of God is putting our trust in the Lord. Right, saints? And so I leave you with that word, that remember what it says. When the enemy shall come in, and he's coming, it's the Spirit of the Lord that will lift up a standard. So don't lower your standards, because if you lower your standards, you will not be able to defeat the enemy. He will come in and take abode and wreak havoc in your lives. Amen, saints?
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Glory to God.
Hello, BJ? Amen, amen. What a word, what a word. Our host will probably be back with us. She's probably having difficulty with her phone. But what a word from Dr. Wright on tonight. And at this time, if anyone would like to come on and thank the woman of God for a mighty and powerful word, the line is now.
Yes, this is Sister Angela. And I thank God for the messenger. I was listening to everything you were saying, how the devil will try to make you believe different things. I don't know if I should be telling y'all this, but I fell in love with somebody, and I know I'm married, but I think he's worse than my husband. So my husband on drugs, and he's a dope dealer, so I know that I have to back up and be on my own and let God choose who I'm supposed to be with. But I still would like y'all to pray for my husband.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Don't lower your standards, because the Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery. So don't lower your standards.
Amen. What a word. What a word. Thank you, Apostle Thomas. What a word from a word. What a word. I told you she's a walking word. She knows that word, and you just blessed me. So I'm throwing these hands around here and hit the wrong key. destroyed. I enjoy you tonight. And at this time, we're going to open up for comments and thank you from the audience. Is there anyone out there in Radio Land that would like to thank the woman of God for the word that has gone forth? Don't lower your standards. We should be chasing the enemy. He shouldn't chase us. We have victory in Jesus. And she went from Genesis to Revelation. You can't miss it. Amen. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Let me have any comments. Thank you.
Yes. Pastor Slub is here. I want to thank the woman of God for the word of God and for her diligence and her love for us by bringing us the truth.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about those spirits when the man had his house swept and cleaned. And the spirit go get seven more. The evil spirit go get seven more. As I said, you have a standard that would keep them out. But the reason they could come back in is because he did not fill his house with Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus is that standard. He is the standard that God has set. He is the standard that we will not reach, but we're supposed to try and reach. As he said, be thou perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. You know, and so we're told to transform into the image of God's Son. And so, if Christ abides in you and you in him, then demons can't come there because they're dark. And we are light. And darkness flees from the light. Be salt and light. Thank the woman of God for her word.
Amen. Will there be another? Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Smothers. Will there be another comment or thank you?
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise you, Lord. Amen.
Minister Wright. Hey, you know, when Dr. Wright always bring that, she always come with it, but I want to tell those that are listening that when she talked about, you know, she raised up her, she fought against what the doctor was saying about her toe,
yeah,
and that she still have her toe to this day. You know, that's my exact testimony.
Yeah,
I've said this many times on my line. I mean, it's very rare that you get the exact testimony. And when she was saying what she said, people of God, is what she did. She, and I can feel the passion in it when she was saying it. About when she was telling the doctor, I'm going to believe what God say instead of you.
Yeah, that's right.
I told you before that I got tired of listening to what the doctor said. And I came, God, I believe God entered to me that when I get to the doctor today, I'm going to assemble them. They're going to listen to me today. And then you're going to speak my words. Today, I didn't listen to you long enough. Now you're going to listen to me. And the words that I'm speaking, I believe God that he's going to heal me. I don't care what you say. I serve the one that gave you the talent to do it. And so it worked. They never spoke another opposite word of what I believed.
Amen.
And I'm still here today. Because if you give them your baby toe, you're going to end up giving them your foot, your leg, all of that.
Amen.
So lift up your standards and stand on the word of God, because that is true. I mean, the exact things that she was saying, like BJ said, when she was going forth, I just raised up and just said, wow, again. I just thank God for having a standard and the trust in the Lord. Great word, Dr. Wright, on tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He did share that with us, too, you all, about how they wanted to do him, too, Dr. Wright. And, you know, when I hit my head, I hit everything but what I had. And when I told them, if they don't tell me what's right, don't just give me anything. And when they gave me the medicine, like you say, that wasn't doing anything. So when I stopped the medicine, I was fine. And then he said, we thought that they go on all those thoughts and money. I said, you're not playing with my. God, and I thank you for that word. It was just dynamite, I tell you. Will there be another comment or thank you to the woman of God? And if you need a prayer to be answered, she's the one. Amen. We just got to believe God. Will there be another?
Mr. BJ.
Yes. Pastor Smith, go ahead.
Let me just say this. We know the word of God is true, right?
And yes, so, come on now.
Jesus said, thy faith has made thee whole. Can't get around that. Praise God.
I love it. And another thing she said that I love, if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything. And one thing I do notice, when the devil tells you something or comes in, he don't tell the whole truth. And if we don't give our lives over to the Lord, we'll think things that shouldn't be thought. She stepped right on it when she was talking about how they, Jonathan and Daniel love. There is a pure love without thinking something natural, you know, that's in the flesh. And I thank God for a changed mind, because if not, hallelujah, if we don't get this mind together, we don't have a reprobated mind. We'll think and do anything. So I want to thank the woman of God. I tell you, she blessed my soul tonight. And at this time, we're going to are there any prayer requests? And after the prayer requests, we're going to have an invitation by Minister Ray Thurman. Are there any prayer requests?
Yes, well, I have a prayer request, which I always ask for this prayer, that God continuously bind us and knit us and hold us in his holy hand, that he binds us like a threefold cord.
Amen. And I have several also. I have Dee Burleson. I'd like you to pray for her. They wanted to go to the doctor tomorrow. They think they found something. That's a scary tactic. But her husband had a stroke, and he hasn't been the same. So pray for the Burleson family and her children. And I met some ladies with her. One was Diane, and another was Marie and Mary. Pray for these women of God. Amen. We have to stand strong in these last and evil days. We don't just want to take anything. You just can't do that. You got to lift up your standard. Amen. Stand for something that the woman of God was preaching from the Word. Amen. And keep my family lifted up, too. That was my niece on the phone about her husband and whatever. Let's not talk about those things. Let's pray and agree and watch God work. Amen. Will there be any more prayer requests?
Yes, Evangelist Brown, I'm calling in for prayer for the Brown family and the United States as a whole, and the young lady named Fifi Collins that died last week of pneumonia, and she was feeding a lot of people down there in the Merrick Park, and she stayed in a van and she didn't tell her she was from Ghana. I got a chance to talk to her about Jesus the Christ about 20 or 30 minutes, and we talked, me and her, and she shared with me about her people that was in Ghana, that she didn't want them to know that she was homeless, and she they were supposed to be coming in this week, sometime this week, this month, to come to visit her, that she was trying to get her a place, but she was standing in that van and got pneumonia in the lungs, and then she went up there when they had the fire and tried to help them people and got that fire in her throat and went in with a pain chest, and the next day she was gone. So I'm asking for prayer for her and that family and everybody as a whole, and that passed on, and Bush also, they're in him today, and just everybody, and those that don't even know they're alive, don't even know they're still here. So we're just asking for prayer, for the prayer of the righteous is for Velas Mush, and only what you do for Christ will last. Amen?
Amen, amen. And let's do keep that lifted up in our prayer line as well. Will there be another? If not, I'm going to have Minister Ray Thurman, are you there to do the invitation, please?
Praise God, praise God. If there's anyone on the line that's seeking support, that backslided, want to come give their life to Christ, It's as easy as ABC. You can admit you a sinner, believe that God will save you, and confess your sins, and confess that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God, and that God raised him up from the dead. And if you believe that, confess that with your mouth and believe it with your heart, you can be saved right now. Is there anyone that want to come forth? Is there anyone seeking the Holy Ghost? We can tarry with you, give you some scriptures. You don't have to be at church to receive the Holy Ghost. You can receive it right where you are right now. Is there anyone on the line today? If you're looking for a church home, wherever you at, whatever city, state that you in, we can direct you to someone, the Bible-based, Holy Ghost-filled, Jesus Christ-believing church, and you can join and go to the altar and repent. Was there anyone at this time? Well, all right. Well, amen. Everybody saved, saved, fire, filled with the Holy Ghost. We thank God that you continue to be strong in the Lord. Amen.
Amen. We want to thank you for that, Minister Ray. And at this time, we won't prolong it any longer. Many of us probably have to go to work or eat. But I would like to have Dr. Wright come back, and she's going to pray for the prayer request and then dismiss us. But before we go, to say, the Lord give you something to say, Dr. Thomas.
Okay. Amen, amen. Again, I would thank Dr. Wright for a powerful and mighty word on tonight. And I just say that once God delivers you from something and he comes in and he sweeps your house clean, washes you with hyssop, and now your house is clean, I tell you that in order for them not to come back,
come on now.
replace your house with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit needs to be in your house. And that the Holy Spirit will lift up that standard to keep that demons from coming back. Because, see, they will come back. And they'll come back and they see that your house is clean. They will come back with seven more. And you will be worse than you were in the beginning. But if you fill your house with the Holy Spirit, there is no room for no demonic spirit. What God has blessed, nobody can condemn or concurse. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Wright.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for those words, Dr. Thomas, and thank you for the invitation being sent by Minister Ray Thurman. At this time, I'm going to turn it over into the hands of Dr. Wright to pray for the prayer request and also to dismiss us. And I would like to say thank you for being on the line, for your support. And remember, if you would like to give a donation, put the name on the envelope or whatever you're sending and send it to P.O. Box 322. Lake Elsinore, California, 92531. God bless you all. It's back into your hands, Dr. Wright.
Amen. And so, Father, we thank you for the opportunity to just be an empty vessel, a vessel, Lord, to you for your purpose for our lives. We ask you, Lord, to forgive us for our sins and our iniquities. There are times in our lives when we're not even aware of the things that we're doing is wrong. We don't realize that we have opened a door. We don't realize, Father, that we've allowed the enemy to have access through the way that we live in our own ship-shorty lives as such. The devil cannot cast out the devil. So we cannot be committing adultery. We can't be running around here lying. We can't be doing all these and think that we're going to have the power to chase the enemy out of anything. And, Father, let me ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, you heard the prayer request. You know the root cause of the problems and issues that we're dealing with. We might be praying for somebody who has a headache, but we don't know what the root is. We want to get to the root of why the headache is there. And in the same way, some of these other issues that's been brought to our attention. There are needs among us. People are dependent upon our prayers. We come together in the name of Jesus, and we stand as one. We're not breaking rank here. We're not dealing with each other based on denominations, other things. Father, we are one in Christ Jesus. We are born of the Spirit of Almighty God. Our names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The love of God flows through us by the precious Holy Spirit. We stand together as one people. We declare and we decree that the Word of God is the rock and strength upon which we stand on and live by. The standards that we live by are as a result of the Word of God. We acknowledge the necessary need for our own lives for the Word of God. We are told in the Word that we shall live by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of the Lord. So, Father, I just ask you now for every prayer request, every need, every person under the sound of my voice, that even as Ezra said, that they through a fasting and prayer were seeking a right way for themselves and their little ones or their families. God, we're seeking a right way for our families. And as Jehoshaphat said, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Lord, we are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you for this group of people, for their faithfulness and diligence to come on every week and every day of the week that they are able to, and to lift up the bloodstained banner. We are standard bearers. We have principles by which we live by. We stand on what thus saith the Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray for healing, for deliverance, for finances, for whatever is needed in the lives of those who have extended themselves and asked for prayer. We pray for our sister who asked for prayer. She's married. She's struggling, Father God. Help her. We understand that. We know what it means, Lord. We know how it feels to want to be held and hugged and encouraged and strengthened. But we also know that the Word of God is clear. Those people that operate outside of the Word of God will fall into condemnation. And we ask you, Lord, to help us, as the Word says, that we are to be clean and we are to be holy because you are holy. So I pray that our conversation, that we will not exaggerate. We will speak the truth with all men. We are not going to do it. Spirit of exaggeration opens the door to lying. And the devil is a liar and there's no truth in him. So I pray we will speak the truth, not add one thing and not take away anything, but speak the truth in love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
God bless you all. Amen.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.